Ramsey TV.
Hey, what about those who have never heard of Christ? What about those who lived before the time of Christ? If the criteria for going either to heaven or to hell is either believing or not believing in Christ, how can people who never heard of Christ be either promoted or damned to hell for eternity? Christians have a problem with this question, don't they? Yeah, watch him squirm. But wait till you hear how they get out of it. Many of you already know how they get out of it. It is illicit. It is a twisting of scripture. Well, what a surprise. Christians twisting scripture? And it misses the whole point of Romans chapter 1. Hi, everybody. Martin Sender here, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. It ain't bragging. If you can do it, coming to you from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of MZTV. Yeah, Christians have a real problem here because they base everything on whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ. But if you lived before Jesus Christ, how the heck can you believe in Jesus Christ? We have to damn these people somehow. We got to make sure they end up in hell, because people who don't believe in Jesus end up in hell no matter how they don't believe in Jesus. Well, they twist a passage in Romans chapter 1. It's really, I hate to even talk about this because it's so embarrassing for the Christians, but I'm going to do it anyway. You may know where I'm going already. They like to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For God's indignation. Yeah, God's indignation. They love that. God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence and injustice of humans who are retaining the truth in injustice, because that which is known of God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them. For his invisible attributes are descried from the creation of the universe. Descry, it just means they're made evident. God's attributes are descried, they're seen, they're descried, yeah. They're appreciated, they're made apparent from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements. Besides his imperceptible power and divinity, for them to be defenseless. Okay, you got no defenses. You got no defenses for not believing in God. They kind of skip the Christ part. They don't say you have to believe in God. They say you have to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven and avoid hell. You have to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, then it's impossible for someone to do that who never heard of Jesus Christ, who lived before Jesus Christ, or who lived after Jesus Christ, and nobody ever told them about Jesus Christ. Well, they kind of ignore that part, and they make it about God. Well, they should know about Jesus Christ, because they can look at the stars, they can look at the rings on Saturn if they have a telescope, even from Walmart. You can get a telescope at Walmart and see the rings of Saturn. They should know about God. Damn it, by watching the ants carry their crumbs into the anthill. They should know about God by the rising and the setting of the sun and the way the celery grows in the garden. No excuse. They know about God. Damn them to hell for not believing in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. What does watching a stalk of celery grow in your garden have to do with believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? You tell me. I don't know. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. Yet they say that those poor people living before the time of Christ, actually you could say lucky people in a way, because nobody could go to hell for eternity until Jesus came announcing all the ways you could go to hell for eternity, according to the Christians. Jesus was the one who came proclaiming this giant punishment for sinners. It wasn't known before. Yes, right. The meek, humble Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world was actually the bringer of the worst news ever. How many ways you could offend God and go to hell where the temperature is very high and there is no sunscreen. Oh, They love to talk about that. But how in the world would watching a stalk of celery, seeing the glory of God in the stalk of celery growing, ah, look at that. God's invisible attributes are shown in this stalk of celery coming up. It's true. It is. But according to the Christians, that will damn them to hell. Paul says they're defenseless. Paul says they're defenseless. And it's true. Paul is saying they're defenseless. But what the Christians don't realize is this. Paul is using the first three chapters of Romans to damn everyone, including them. That's right, because in chapter 2, he uses the word defenseless again in chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, defenseless are you, O human, everyone who is judging, blah, blah, he goes on. But he really brings it back in the verse I just read, Romans 1, 19 and 20, that just by seeing creation and not knowing God, it's like you got to be stupid to look at the creation. Even just the workings of your own body. Looking at yourself in the mirror should tell anyone there's a God. Well, for most people anyway, yeah. No, for everybody. So every single human being, including atheists, see, are defenseless. But Paul says, knowing God, not as God do they thank or glorify him. That's verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. I'm going back to chapter 2 now. Paul starts with the common man, the worldly man. Well, how can they be condemned? They don't believe in Jesus. They can't believe in Jesus. They lived before Jesus. Paul says, oh no, they can still be condemned. They can still be condemned because they've seen the wonders of God in his creation and they don't recognize him as God. The Christians say, oh yeah, right there. Yes. Yes. That means they're going to hell. Wait a minute. Who said anything about going to hell? Just says they're defenseless and condemned. And anything about hell? No. The condemnation of this whole context, the condemnation of the entire human race, thanks to Adam, is suffering followed by death. You suffer in this life. Preaching to the choir here. I know that. You suffer in this life. And then it ends in death. That's the condemnation. And everyone would die and stay dead if it were not for Jesus Christ. But see, the Christians hijack this verse to use it in a personal way to answer their difficult question they keep being asked is, what about those who have never heard? What about those who have never heard? Well, they're still going to hell for not believing in Jesus? No, they look at the celery and don't believe in God. Oh, they're going to hell for that? No, maybe they're going to die for that, and they are going to. But see, Paul turns a corner when he starts talking about the religious person. In verse 17 of chapter 2, lo, you are being denominated a Jew, and I might change Jew to Christian, and I will. Lo, you are being denominated a Christian, and you're resting on law and are boasting in God, if only they're boasting in themselves. The Christians are actually worse than the people Paul is describing here. You know the will. You're testing what things are of consequence, being instructed out of the law. This applies to the Christians. Besides, you have confidence in yourself. Ho-ho! That applies to the Christians. Talked about that last week. You have confidence in yourself to be a guide of the blind, a light of those in darkness. Ah, yes, come to our church. Let our church be your home. We will lead you into all truth. Just like the Pharisees? Yeah, just like the Pharisees. A discipliner of the imprudent, a teacher of minors, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You then who are teaching another, you are not teaching yourself. Oh, and Paul goes on and slams the Jews. So see, Paul's goal here in Romans chapter 1 is to take everybody down. So the Christians are right in that human beings are defenseless. But they're wrong in the fact that, see, they're included in the condemnation. Because again, Paul is saying that there's no human being who can do right before God. And even those who have never heard of the God of Israel who lived before the time of Jesus Christ, who just went out and tilled their garden or looked up at the sun or watched a bird fly, they're defenseless as well. See, Paul's including the whole human race, the secular segment of the race, and the religious segment of the race, and he uses the Jew as the representative religious segment of the race, you see. And he reaches his climax, Paul does. He's finishing up his rant against Israel, all religious people, really. He says, what then? Are we as Jews privileged? Undoubtedly not, for we previously charged both Jews and Greeks to be all under sin. Paul uses the Jew as a type of the religious man and the Greek as a type of the worldly man. The worldly man who doesn't know anything about God or Christ is still defenseless and condemned to death because he sees the power of God described in all his creation, spoken mutely by the stars, by the sun, by the planets, by the ants, by the celery, and they say, poo-poo, nah, there's no God. Oops. And then there's a religious person who claims to be a defender of God, claims to be righteous, claims to be God's best friend, but they are confident in themselves. Paul says, you're done too. And by the time Paul gets done here, you say, Paul, there's nobody left. Damn right there's nobody left. We're charging both Jews and Greeks to all be under sin, Romans 3:10. Not one is understanding. Not one is seeking out God. All avoid him. At the same time, they were useless. Not one is doing kindness. There's not even one. Verse 13, Romans 3. A sepulcher opened is their throat. With their tongues they defraud. The venom of asps is under their lips. He goes on and on and on. There's no fear of God in front of their eyes. So Paul, see this, the Christians don't realize this, that they're going down with everybody else. The religious man's going down, the worldly man's going down. And what happens in Romans 3:21 is an announcement of the remedy. Yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifested, being attested by the law and the prophets, attested, hinted at, prophesied concerning, yet a righteousness of yet, something new, something different, a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith for all and on all who are believing. For there's no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. But God did something to solve this problem. You see, the Christians just want to use this Romans 1 to condemn the people who have never heard so that they have an excuse to condemn people who have never heard. And in their mind, the condemnation they have in mind is eternal torment in hell, which is unscriptural. Read my book, Martin Sender Goes to Hell. There's no such thing as eternal torment, okay? No such thing. Done many videos on that, written a book on it. Martin Sender Goes to Hell. Go to my website, martinsender.com, and order it. So they don't realize that while they're pointing the finger at others, yeah, they got those other fingers pointing back at themselves. And they don't realize Paul's goal here. Paul's not trying to give them an excuse to condemn those who haven't heard. He's not trying to do that. Paul's condemning everyone. Everyone of the entire human race. He's trying to shut every mouth so that he can announce the remedy. Jesus Christ came into the world concerning sin. Remember Romans 8, 3 through 5? And he condemns sin in the flesh. He came, he was sent by God concerning sin. So all the sin from everyone who ever lived, whether they've heard about God, heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whether they know about Jesus Christ, don't know about him, don't know anything about God except the rising and the setting of the sun and that stalk of celery in their garden. Sorry, everybody's going down. And the religious person, you're in a worse situation yet because you're boasting as though you know God, as though you're the greatest champion of God, and you're actually an enemy of the cross, and you're no friend of God's because you turn the world from God with your sick teachings about free will and eternal torment and the Trinity and so forth. And so I hope this has been illuminating to you, and send this video to those who try to find different ways to condemn people. I got an idea. Why don't we try to find different ways to save people? God thought of a great one, and it was sending his own son concerning sin.